The Bible gives us this beautiful set of three for the Christian life: faith, hope, and love. And that theme is repeated throughout the scriptures. And so it's a very worthy thing for us to consider around this Christmas time, how Christmas communicates to us our faith in God, how Christmas communicates to us the hope that we have in God. And now it's my privilege to speak to you now for just a few minutes on the love that is communicated to us by Christmas. Now, I had originally chosen a text, and we'll get to that for in a few minutes, but just open your Bibles again to Titus chapter 3, verse 4. You know, as Trevor read this, I said, that's a tremendous text for me too, so I'll take it as well. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, that there was a time, there was a place, there was a circumstance in which the love of God appeared. Now, I want to be very clear on this. It's not as if the love of God was absent from the world or from the pages of the scriptures before Jesus appeared as a baby in Bethlehem. Not by any means. The love of God in some way or another can be found on every page of the Old Testament. That'd be a tremendous challenge. We could just walk through every page of the Old Testament together and sit down and find out how every page communicates to us the love of God. But there was a special way that the love of God was communicated when that baby was born in Bethlehem, that's so far outstretched any previous demonstration of the love of God. Now, let me tell you, it would not become the ultimate demonstration of the love of God. The ultimate demonstration of the love of God was not demonstrated at Bethlehem, but it was demonstrated at Calvary. But there was a beautiful first showing of it, first presenting of it right there in that stable with that little baby laid in the manger. You know, when I think about Christmas love, I think about it in two ways. I think about it, first of all, in the way that it communicates the love that God has for us. Isn't it so plain? Friend, can you wrap your mind around it? That there was a time when Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, in all of his glory, in all of his splendor, when he existed, there's a beautiful phrase in the Psalms called the ivory palaces of heaven. I love that phrase. When there Jesus, before his incarnation, before he added humanity to his deity, he was in perfect fellowship with God the Father. Was he not? Was there any sort of separation? Listen, I say perfect in this sense too, because Jesus, living in the glory and the splendor of heaven, how does God hear? God hears perfectly. How does God see? He sees perfectly. How does God communicate? He communicates perfectly. That fellowship that the Father and the Son had in heaven was absolutely perfect, absolutely unhindered by anything whatsoever. Now, babies are not tremendously communicative, if you know what I mean. They sleep a lot, right? And they cry a lot. And they're not super interactive. Not at the beginning, right? They grow and all of that stuff. But can you imagine the limitation that the Son took upon himself? That there would be now a medium through which he would relate to God the Father. Now that must have been somewhat of a letdown for him, right? Yet nevertheless, he embraced it. Sometimes I think, would it have made the atonement of Jesus on the cross any less special if Jesus would have come to the earth as Adam did, as a full-grown man? Would it have made the atonement any less special if Jesus would have died on our sins in a completely hidden place, on the dark side of the moon, but God just told us it happened? But he didn't. He came as a baby, matured as a child, grew up as a teen, became an adult, and he did it all not only so that he could die on a cross. No, he could have done it in any other way and still died on a cross. Whereas he did it that way because he really loves you and wants to identify with you in every way possible. He wants to be able to communicate to you, not just as the one who paid for your sin, but as a loving high priest, someone whose heart is wide open to you. Maybe you felt it or heard it sometime in the past that Jesus is the tough one. And if you really want to get to the soft part of getting to God, come to the soft, go through Mary for the soft part. Can I just tell you? God bless Mary and all that God used her for and his beautiful plan of redemption. But Jesus' heart of love and mercy is wide open to you. I don't mean any disrespect when I say this, but Mary's not any nicer than Jesus. Jesus' heart of love and compassion is shown by being that little baby in Bethlehem. I think of the weakness. I think of the second person of the Trinity condescending to have his diaper changed. Because, you know, he wasn't born potty changed. Some people get confused on that. Potty changed, potty trained. You understand that, don't you? All the normal weaknesses, all the normal frailties, all the normal difficulties, the Son of God took those upon himself. There's this sense. Look at it here in verse 4, Titus 3:4. When the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. It appeared in a special way in that place in Bethlehem. And he was born that night. And they took him and they laid him in a manger. You know what a manger is, right? A manger, friends, is a feeding trough. It's the place where the animals eat. You put the hay or whatever in there. Mangers are messy. Mangers are streaked with saliva. Mangers are gross. I mean, we think of it as a modern day nativity scene. We say, oh, isn't it cute? Man, it wasn't cute. In the ancient world, they laid him in a manger and all the mothers are going, oh my gosh, how could they do that? But again, it just shows how the condescending way that Jesus came to us and also so that nobody would be intimidated by him, so that he could connect to everybody in the intimate way of love and relationship and just that connection as a faithful high priest that he longs to have with you. I hope you know the love of Jesus as your Savior. I really do. But I hope it goes so much more than that. I hope you know him as a loving high priest, as someone who cares for you and identifies with you, someone you can pour out your soul to, someone that you can love so deeply and so dearly because he loves you so deeply and so dearly. And he demonstrated by the depths to which he would come and leave those ivory palaces of heaven. And as it says in such a beautiful way in the scriptures, that he became poor so that we could become rich in him. His poverty, our riches. That's the first part of Christmas love that I think of, is the great love that Jesus has for us. But then I think there's a flip side to it too, don't you? And this is the verse I was originally going to talk on. The verse from 1 John chapter 4. And you know the verse, 1 John chapter 4, what is it? Verse 4, where it simply says, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. For some reason, that verse keeps coming back to me again and again through the years. We love him because he first loved us. Well, it's true, friends. He first loved you. He did. Before you ever loved him, before you ever knew him, he was there in Bethlehem as a little baby, first loving you. He first loved you. But then think of it. Isn't it funny to think of a little baby being cradled in the arms? Newborn baby. What do you feel when you see a newborn baby? You immediately feel this outworking of just love and oh, isn't it sweet? Let's face it. I mean, I don't want to burst anybody's bubbles, but most of the time, newborn babies aren't very pretty. They're pretty messed up when they come out, you know? They are. And, you know, you kind of just, especially before they're cleaned up and all, it's just like, woo, you know? It really looks strange. It's like, but none of that matters when you see the baby, does it? It doesn't matter how squished the face is or what weird stuff they got all over them. It doesn't matter. You look at that, it doesn't matter how they look. You look and your heart just meets, oh, I love that baby. Oh, will somebody take care of that baby? Oh, will somebody love that baby? Oh, I want to love that baby. It just, doesn't it? It just does it. It just excites a sense of love within you. Isn't it beautiful to think that Jesus came in a way that would welcome and sort of ensnare our love for him? He wants you to love him. Now, here's his great plan for wanting you to love him. His great plan for that is to love you first. But listen, having loved you first, now Jesus says, won't you come and love me? I have made myself, Jesus would say this, again, I hope I don't sound strange. I don't mean to sound disrespectful with this in the slightest. But Jesus would say to you, I have made myself very lovable to you. And look at Jesus. Just as much as you would look at a baby and say, that baby is 100% lovable, right? Who could not love a little baby? That baby is totally lovable. So is not Jesus lovable? Could somebody here please point out to me a flaw in his character? Could somebody please point out to me a stain on his reputation? Can somebody please point out to me a failure in who he is or what he's done for us? Here is the spotless, the most beautiful, as the great hymn says, the fairest Lord Jesus. And he stands before all of humanity and he says, I have made myself this lovable to you. Won't you please love me? For I have loved you first. We love him because he first loved us. And that love began to be manifested in that little cave or stable or whatever it was outside of the inn in Bethlehem. Friends, that's Christmas love. So here's what you need to do. You need to receive the love that he has for you. First, start with that. Won't you let him just love you? Now that sounds like it would be the easiest thing in the world, doesn't it? It's not. It's not, because for him to really love on you, you better first admit that you need it, right? You got to be in the place of need. And for some of us, that's very uncomfortable. But then here's the other thing. To receive his love, you have to give up any thought of trying to earn it or deserve it. You just have to receive it. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But it's not. It's not for everybody. Let him love you. Just humble yourself before him. Tell him how needy you are of his love, and then receive it humbly. Okay, so receive his love. And then, friends, in Christmas love, won't you just love him in return? Don't you see how lovable he has made himself to you? He's wanted to draw your love to him. I don't doubt that if any one of us were in that stable, in that barn, whatever it was exactly, the night Jesus was born, wouldn't you have been dying to hold that baby? Wouldn't you have been dying to snuggle that baby close to you? To love on that baby? Listen, I've got good news for you. That baby grew up to be a man, and that man has ascended the right hand of God the Father. And you can love him. You can adore him. And that's what we want to do right now through worship. So let's just continue on here tonight. We're going to love him and let some Christmas faith, some Christmas hope, and some Christmas love work its way very deeply into our hearts. Jesus, we receive your love. Jesus, we love you. And so now, Lord, we just want to enter into your presence. We want to stay there like we've been there all this evening. We just want to think about the greatness of faith, hope, and love here at this beautiful time of the year. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship him together.